Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Welcome back, everybody that's been here before, to the No BS Bishop. I'm alive to love. I believe lesser values than love are easily sliding into the abyss of BS, which could be, however you want to define it, it could be just bait and switch, where we're manipulating and shaming and trying to push people into doing what we want them to do, rather than loving everyone and allowing them to be exactly who they are. If I am I because I am I, and you are you because you are you, then we are operating at some level of love. But if I'm I because you are you, and you are you because I am I, well, now you're into this whole bait and switch. You're trying to BS me, I'm trying to BS you to be something that I thought you might have been or could be or should be for my benefit. Nope. Love says, I am I, and my love for you lets you be you. And out of that, we have a world that can function, functional love. That's what I want to talk to you today about, the functional beauty and the filter of love, how to walk through this life with love as the royal flush of all that we think and all that we do. But before we get there, I like to lead you in my Love's Creed. It's something that I wrote years ago, and I want to bring it back to you today so that you can join me in this creed. A creed is something we hear ourselves say. When you hear yourself say something, even if it is all alone in some room, you know you've made a commitment to some ideals. Or perhaps if you're all alone and you're shouting mad, you can hear yourself and realize, oh my, I sound terrible. So, but I want the Love's Creed to become something you hear, and it sounds wonderful. It sounds beautiful. It sounds like a poem in your ears, and it sounds like a command story for you to live. So here's Love's Creed in total. I'll go back through it and read it like vows at a wedding altar, give it to you in short bursts, and then you can repeat after me. But first, here it is in total. I'm alive to love. I am not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less. I really do. Just, I savor those words. And yes, I know I wrote them, and so maybe I am breaking my arm to pat myself on the back, but I do savor those words. Why am I here? What am I doing? Why am I breathing? Why am I eating and sleeping? I'm not here for anything less than the high pursuit of love. Okay, so here it is in short bursts, and you can repeat after me. Here we go. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. If you'd like a copy of that Love's Creed, you can email me at randydeanministries@gmail.com. I'd be happy to send you a copy. And by the way, if you email me, I'm not saving your email address for some kind of big mailing list to raise funds or anything like that at all. I have no ulterior motive in this. You know why? Because then that would be BS. That would be bait and switch. And I'm not here to bait and switch people. I'm here to love people. And my love for you would be, if you ask me for a copy of this, I'd be happy to send you a copy that you could put on a 5x7 card and tape it to the visor of your car, or put it somewhere in your bathroom when you're getting ready in the morning. You could say it out loud. Whatever the case may be, I'd love for you to have a copy of Love's Creed. And again, my email is randydeanministries, all lowercase, one word, @gmail.com. Okay, so today I told you I wanted to talk about the formula, the factor, the filter of love. To be people who are formulating life by seeing life as the total pursuit of love in every matter. You know, there's so many doctrinal matters. There's so many political matters. There's so many relational matters. There's so many matters of interaction with other human beings of all stripes, of all backgrounds, of all behaviors. And I'm utterly convinced that we need a filter, a formula, a factoring way of seeing life through one purpose. And I believe that purpose is love. And I trust that you know when I say this, I've lived this for a long time. I am not saying this is easy. I am not saying this is simplistic. I'm saying this is the hardest work of all the work you'll do in life. When you are formulating and factoring and filtering your life by love, then you're really doing the heavy lifting of relationships. And even if no one else recognizes it, if no one else gets that you're loving them, that doesn't change that if you do the heavy lifting of love, love has conquered the struggle. So my purpose in telling you this isn't to, you know, give you an easy peasy success formula. My purpose is to put you on a marathon run, to put you on a pilgrimage for life, to put you on a walk, a long walk through this life with struggles and twists and turns and mountain climbs and valleys that you'll have to carefully make your way down the pathway. This journey of love, this filter formula, this factoring of life through love, this is no easy peasy, cotton candy, cheesy, wheezy way of managing the world. This is the hard way, but it is the way of having a life that matters in this big old world that we're all living in, you know? So let me read something to you I've read before by St. Isaac of Syria. He said, "In love did God bring the world into existence." Now stop for one moment. Think about that. It was love that brought the world into existence. So if that's the fact, the factor of life, the formula of life, then life must be managed with love. So again, in love did God bring the world into existence. Now here again is St. Isaac. In love, God is going to bring it to that wondrous, transformed state. And in love will the world be swallowed up in the great mystery of the one who has performed all these things. In love will the whole course of governance of creation be finally comprised. Among all his actions, there is none which is not entirely a matter of mercy and love. This constitutes the beginning and the end of God's dealings with us. That's St. Isaac of Syria. Mind-blowing, isn't it? In love, all the actions of God are entirely a matter of factoring and formulating and filtering the whole creation. It constitutes the beginning and the end of God's dealings with us. Earlier in that quote, St. Isaac says, in love, the world will be swallowed up in the great mystery of the one who's performed these things. The whole course of governance of creation will be finally comprised in love. So to all those who ponder and worry and scratch their head over, well, what about this person? And what about that person? And what about this group of people? And what about that other group of people? How in the world can we love them? They're so far away from the will of God. They're doing such rotten, terrible, ugly, nasty, dirty things that I don't even like to think about. How do I manage, factor, filter all of those people groups and those individuals in my life? How do I do it? The same way God does, in love. Because in love, the whole course of the governance of creation will finally be swallowed up. This is where it all lands. There's no such thing as a God of anger and rage. No, our God is love. 1 John 4 says, God is love, love is God. He who dwells in God dwells in love. He who dwells in love dwells in God. And we know that we are born of God, 1 John says, if we love. So it is love that is the formula, the factor, the filter for what we do and how we speak and how we plan and how we determine what we're going to say, how we're going to say it. Oh yeah, I'm like you. I have my moments where I'm fed up with somebody and I'm just going to give them all the hell in my tiny little hand, my tiny little brain. I'm going to give them hell. But you know what? That isn't love. That's some kind of base human exaggeration of what that other person deserves. And by the way, if I think they deserve it, then some way I must think I deserve it. And that's how we get this whole world of life and this whole world of relationships confused. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you means that I'm operating in love toward you because I want love toward me. So if I want love toward me, then now I've got to factor, filter, and use the formula of love in managing the big, bad, confusing, contorted world all around me. It all has to come down to love. See, I believe love knows how to be strategic and to position ourselves with filters for how we see all the realities going on around us. If you're watching the news, or if you're just watching somebody in a restaurant, or if you're bumping into somebody over at Walmart or in traffic, love strategically positions as the filter through which I'm viewing this big contorted world. So this filter is a command. It's a command for me to look like I'm looking through a telescope back in time and to look for compassion for some, maybe this is a 50-year-old person behaving like a child. Now, well, what my love filter says, my love formula says, I look back in time and I realize it was some kind of foolishness happening to this poor soul. This 50-year-old that's acting badly, well, this foolishness didn't come out of thin air. This foolishness came out of some broken, unloving thing that's happened to them, and now they're acting it out of their arrested development. And at maybe at my expense, but still, if love is my formula, my factoring, my way of filtering, I'm looking back in time to what may have caused this dear soul to behave so badly. What is the love loss in this person that's shaped their behavior like this? What is their love loss? How have they been neglected by mother, father, brother, sister, grandparents? What's happened that has caused them to be so shrunken in their bad behavior? How often, I like to put it this way, how often have they been dropped on their emotional head that creates such broken actions? You know, it behooves me. Love says what is happening here is the result of this person's injuries. Their emotions have been beaten, pummeled, and now their injuries are acting out of an unloving way, and my love calls me with a formula and a filter, means of seeing them in a whole other way. So, again, I have to ask, what series of stumbles have they endured, whether with again, parents or maybe a spouse or their own children? What have they endured in their journey that has, intentionally or not, brought them to my presence, and now they're seemingly intent on bringing me into their misery? Whether they're aware of it or not, I'm now in the circumference of their misery. So my obedience to love factors and formulates what I'm seeing. And it just keeps me consistently aware that there is no one moment happening right now that's in isolation from the 100,000 preceding moments leading up to this very moment. Let me say that again. My obedience, my filter, my factoring of love restructures what I'm witnessing in any given moment. It keeps me consistently aware that there's not one moment happening right now to me that is in isolation from 100,000, 10 million perhaps, preceding moments that have occurred to this person that's leading up to that very moment. Because as I said a few moments ago, love is like a telescope. I can see back in time with love. And maybe if telescope isn't the right word for you, maybe microscope. Maybe by a microscope, I can imagine every molecule of this poor soul in front of me behaving badly. Or these souls I may see on the news that I just don't approve of their behavior. But perhaps with the telescope or the microscope, I can see how they've been shaped by the relentless passage of time. It's happening to all of us, right? The clock is ticking. You know, I can take a look at my wristwatch and yep, that second hand is ticking away and there's no turning that second hand back. And that relentless passage of time is happening to every one of us. And for many of us, so many good things are happening. However, so many of us, so many tragic, painful things have happened. And whether they be good or painful, we are all the result in this moment, right now, of all that we've been. And if love has found its way into our souls, if love has found its way into our thinking, if love can find its way into the fiber of our personality and our persona, well, now love is formulating and factoring and filtering through us, creating a newer life, a better life of health and real emotional wealth and wellness. Because love is that one intruder, that one beautiful intruder that can stop the evil, negative intruders. And so when I see, just like you do, I see people for who they are and what they're trying to be. You know, I recognize that, for instance, as an easy example here, we've all encountered teenagers who suddenly one day decided to dress in some way that just drives us nuts. We look at that teenager and wonder, who taught you how to dress? Who taught you how to comb your hair? Why did you put that black ink in your hair? Why did you fill in the blanks. I could go on and on about that. But the point is, we've all seen a teenager who dresses or acts in a manner that's despicable or disgusting to some of us adults. And, you know, again, I can just get rid of my love filter. I can shoo away all the love that should be in front of me looking at this child. And I can be disgusted. I can sneer and internally think of how I can think a lot of unkind things. Let's leave it right there. But, and then, by the way, if in any way externally I react, that child, that teenager who's dressed badly, acted badly, or whatever the case may be, is validated in their attempt to get our attention. They get a validation from that. That validation is, aha, I see you're disgusted by me. I see you don't like the way I talk or look. I see you don't like my music. And that teenager now has been validated in whatever negativity that they're behaving in. And our negativity validates it. And guess what they're going to do? You're right. They're going to do more of that because that reward of our disgust validates their misbehavior, or at least our interpreted misbehavior. So love, how about this? Let's try a different way, shall we? Let's try the way of love. The way of love that factors and formulates and filters through and what I'm seeing, what I'm hearing, what's happening in front of me. So rather than reacting, I'm responding. The word respond means I'm pondering and pondering, which is to re-ponder what I'm seeing. Maybe just for a few split seconds, I'm pondering, responding with not a reaction, but the only response that God would give any human being, and that is love. So that love becomes the formula. Love becomes the factor. Remember what St. Isaac of Syria said? In love did God bring the world into existence. In love is God going to bring it to that wondrous transformed state. And in love will the world be swallowed up in the great mystery of the one who has performed all these things. In love will the whole course of governance and of creation be finally comprised. Among all of God's actions, there is none which is not entirely a matter of love. This constitutes the beginning and the end of God's dealings with us. So this is, you know, I think of in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, you are to be perfect as my Father in heaven is perfect. Yeah, I know. I just said something you're all thinking, what? To be perfect like God's perfect? Well, that word perfect is the word teleos. It's the Greek word teleos. It's to see to the end. Well, what is the end? Well, I just read it from St. Isaac of Syria. The end is God's love. So I'm to be perfect. I'm to see the end rather than just the short-term moment. I'm by love to look beyond, well beyond, all that just seems to be screaming and shouting in my face and making me disgusted or wrinkle my lip or you know, roll my eyes. No, since in love God has comprised the whole creation, now in love that same God invites us to become like him, to become God-like. And the only way I know how to be God-like is capital L, O-V-E, to love. And yes, I fully understand the challenge of that dilemma, the challenge of that formula, the challenge of that factoring and that filtering. See, it's not about, you know, we all have a curriculum. You know what a curriculum is, right? You, when you were in school, the curriculum was teaching you a certain set of ideals about social studies, a certain set of ideals about science, and that curriculum had a plan to start with point A and lead you all the way to point Z. So, see, we all have a life curriculum, don't we? We all function from some kind of curriculum. And now, the only teacher that we really have as adults that's daily available to us, the only tutor that we can go to, I mean, unless we have a mentor or a coach or somebody we trust to keep us moving along, that only teacher we have, the only curriculum we have is the one we write. It's the one we teach. It's the one we tutor ourselves. And the truth is, operating out of a form of a curriculum of love leads us away from the programs of our brokenness and dysfunction, our program of disgust, a program of hate. But hey, we have a love's creed, don't we? I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. So when we either live by our love losses, and that becomes our curriculum, or we live by the love of God that is aimed at us routinely, daily, even when we sleep at night, the love of God is pummeling us. It's saturating our being. And we can learn when whether we're rising or we're sleeping, we can learn to be lovers by formula, by factor, by filter, and see the world around us through the lens of love. Well, I've got to bring this to a close. I got to land this airplane in this airport of the No BS Bishop. I'm alive to love. And I know if you've been here before, we do two things to close. If you've never been here before, get yourself kind of settled and ready to hear me out, because there are two things that are necessary, I think, to conclude a discussion like this. And one is to breathe. Take a good, deep breath. Understand that by breathing, you're settling your mind, you're settling your soul, you're settling your body. So on the count of three, I want you to take a deep breath all the way down into the foundations of your lungs, and let your diaphragm feel the push when you drag that air in. All right, on the count of three, get a deep breath. Get your feet flat on the floor, set up straight, and breathe in on the count of three. One, two, three. Inhale. Hold it and exhale. That simple little exercise lowers your blood pressure, steadies your heart rate, gives your mind a little moment or two to just be still and let the forms of love come in and shape you and give you a chance to go forward in this life one more time. Second exercise we do here is one that I'm somewhat famous for. I'm somewhat infamous for. I just did a retreat as one of the leaders. And when I left, I heard people in the hallways and in the lobby of this retreat center saying to one another these three words that I'm going to teach you how to say. And these three words are the most magical, charmed, and, by the way, the most holy words in the universe. And those three words are, I love you. You see, I believe that if we can slow it down, look someone in the eye, you know, without any kind of weird motivation, nothing romantic, just human decency, a little more kindness in this world, right? And if we, with kindness and decency, look somebody in the eye, oh yeah, it's awkward, it's a little clumsy, but it's well worth the effort. Look somebody in the eye with real intention and authenticity and say, I love you. I'm sitting here alone in this recording studio saying it, and it did me some good. I want you to find somebody, look them in the eye, and say those three holy words. I believe it's life-changing. It's a filter. It's a formula. It's a factoring for life going forward. Well, thank you for being here today. I want you to hear me say, if I could see you through your computer, your phone, or your radio, I want you to hear me say, oh, dear child, dear baby boy, baby girl, I love you. And know that this God that created everything in love will comprise it all in the finality of love, and it will all make sense in one word. It'll all come together in one factor. As St. Isaac the Syrian said, it'll all be comprised in love. And that's why we should be alive with plans, dreams, and designs, locked into anything and everything that is love. Thanks for being here again today. I'm Bishop Randy Dean. And I say to you right now, get out there and do something beautiful. I challenge you, do a beautiful thing, because ugly is getting done to death. Time for people of love to rise and shine. Happy trails, y'all.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m., and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.